So, actually, peace has been in the news a lot the last week or so. United States with Israel and Hamas and the 20-point peace plan and putting that together with a ceasefire and withdrawal of troops and freeing the Israeli hostages, plus the bodies of those that have been killed, and then freeing several more Hamas people who had been captured or had been incarcerated for a while, and, you know, sign, we're going to do this, get together, we'll set up a humanitarian aid then to come in and help the people and provide funds to rebuild everything we blew up, and it seems to be what we do. We knock them down, and then we pay to build them back up again, but pay to rebuild. We're going to set up, you know, new political leaders to set up how to rule properly, and you know, I'm not sure Hamas has agreed to all of that yet. I'm not sure they will, but as a sign of how peaceable they are, they held a live execution of 20 people that they felt aided the or gave information to those that were fighting against them. So peace in this world will never totally happen. It's just not going to happen. You might find a short stint, but it's short-lived. It's not going to happen. Even during peacetime, each side's working against each other, trying to get the upper hand, you know, threats and promises, throwing sanctions at each other. That's not peace. That's not peace. The world wants you to think peace and good times are coming. That's the lie. There's peace, there's good times coming, but it's just not so. And as we get towards the end, it is not so. And now, we can have the peace of Christ now. There is a peace we can have through Jesus Christ and our understanding of Him and who He is and salvation and eternal life and what all that means. We can have a peace about that. And we can have a peace about anxiety from the turmoil of the world that's going on around us, because, again, we trust in Him completely. We know who's in charge. We know who's got control of all things. But we continue to see, the peace is not going to truly happen until Christ returns. Then it will be here. Then there will be truly peace on earth. But it'll be a new earth and a new heaven and a new Jerusalem. But we continue to see things happening in the world that indicate, I think, what is coming. A preview of sorts of what's coming. I want to read a couple passages today. We're going to start out 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. 2 Thessalonians 2, 1 through 12. It says, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our being gathered to Him, we ask you, brothers and sisters, not to become easily unsettled or alarmed by the teaching allegedly from us, whether by a prophecy or by word of mouth or by letter, asserting that the day of the Lord has already come. Don't let anyone deceive you in any way, for that day will not come until the rebellion occurs and the man of lawlessness is revealed, the man doomed to destruction. He will oppose and will exalt himself over everything that is called God or is worshipped, so that he sets himself up in God's temple, proclaiming himself to be God. Don't you remember? That's when I was with you, I used to tell you these things. And now you know what is holding him back, so that he may be revealed at the proper time. For the secret power of lawlessness is already at work, but the one who now holds it back will continue to do so till he is taken out of the way. And then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord Jesus will overthrow with the breath of his mouth and destroy by the splendor of his coming. The coming of the lawless one will be in accordance with how Satan works. He will use all sorts of displays of power through signs and wonders that serve a lie, and all the ways that wickedness deceives those who are perishing. They perish because they refuse to love the truth and so to be saved. For this reason, God sends them a powerful delusion so that they will believe in the lie, and so that all will be condemned who have not believed the truth but have delighted in wickedness. And I think Paul's telling us what's going to happen. You know, he's tell us when we're gathered to Christ and the man of lawlessness, also known as the Antichrist, comes into power. You know, there's going to be there's going to be so many people saying and teaching and preaching deceiving things. I think we're there. I think we're there now. We see that going on all around us. I want to say scary. It's just disgusting what is being taught and what is being preached out there. And you know, the thing of it is, you can see it every day. You know, communications in the world, you don't miss anything. You can see it every day what's happening out there. And so we know the Antichrist is coming, you know, and we know what he'll do based on God's word. He's telling us, even as to setting himself up as God at the very end. But it says there's something holding him back. Something holding the Antichrist back. He's at work. He's at work now, but he can't take control and be revealed until that power is taken away. You know, a lot of people would say, well, it's God or the Holy Spirit, and that's absolutely correct. It is God. It is the Holy Spirit. But when will the Holy Spirit be taken away? You know, the Holy Spirit dwells in believers. Okay, he dwells in you and I. And when the Holy Spirit's taken away, when the rapture takes place, and again, I believe it's going to happen before the tribulation period. There's others that would argue mid-trib, post-trib. I believe it's going to be before. It's not a make or break. Too much scripture to me tells us we'll be taken out before he comes to power, or before he's handed over or given the power by God. So when the church is no more, the church is gone. That spiritual influence is gone in the world. That spiritual influence is here. Now don't get me wrong, there's going to be a gospel still spread. There's going to be 144,000 going to spread the gospel still. God's going to protect them. They're going to be assigned. And I believe there's going to be others who know the word that's going to figure out what's happened. Probably be a few pastors. They're going to figure out what happened. If they choose to try to get with Jesus again, they're going to have to do it the hard way. You know, it's going to take their life. But in the meantime, they might be testifying as to what they know. So it's still going to go out, but the main thrust of all the Christian, all the believers here is going to be gone. You're what's holding him back. You're what's delaying that. You know, the Bible says we're the salt and the light. You know, we're the salt preserves, saves things from decay. That's what we do. We're trying to save things from decay, trying to save from death, trying to preserve it for Jesus. It also says salt that loses its flavor isn't any good for anything and gets thrown out. So if you don't have much flavor, it's not a good sign. That's a warning to us today. We're to be flavorful. We're to be salt. We're supposed to be. But you, the church, is holding the Antichrist back because the Holy Spirit lives in you. Holding back from being revealed. Is he out there today? I don't know. Maybe. But because you're still working to save those in the world, you're working to save the lost, he's not allowed to come until that last one's gotten. That last one comes to know God. He's using you to call people to be saved, preserving the world, to gain all of the lost. Now again, God's word will still go on during the tribulation and after. If you keep reading in Revelation, it's all about him calling people to the very end, wanting to have mercy, wanting to give grace for those that will come. Now, we're not going to get all of it, of course, today. But I do want to, you know, if you believe God's word, you know, he's given revelation of what's coming. You know, Revelation tells us, and it's You know, it's not the only warning. You know, it's in Matthew in the New Testament. It's in Daniel. It's in several prophetic books in the Old Testament. But I just want to read Revelation 6, 1 through 8 this morning. Everybody like horses? You might not like these horses. You might not like these riders. It's Revelation 6, 1 through 8. It says, I watched as the Lamb opened the first of the seven seals. And then I heard one of the four living creatures say in a voice like thunder, Come. And I looked, and there before me was a white horse. Its rider held a bow, and he was given a crown. And he rode out as a conqueror bent on conquest. When the Lamb opened the second seal, I heard the second living creature say, Come. Then another horse came out, a fiery red one. Its rider was given power to take peace from the earth and to make people kill each other. To him was given a large sword. And when the Lamb opened the third seal, I heard the third living creature say, Come. And I looked, and there before me was a black horse, and its rider was holding a pair of scales in his hand. Then I heard what sounded like a voice among the four living creatures saying, 2 pounds of wheat for a day's wage, and 6 pounds of barley for a day's wage, and do not damage the oil and the wine. When the Lamb opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth living creature say, Come. And I looked, and there before me was a pale horse. Its rider was named Death, and Hades was following close behind. And they were given power over a fourth of the earth to kill by sword, famine, and plague, and by the wild beasts of the earth. You might know that better as the four horsemen of the apocalypse, as we call them. Different interpretations of what those are. Some say it's first century judgments that were given. Some say a history between the church and the world as it goes along. Others say it's just an ongoing series of spiritual realities of what happens throughout history. And the other one's the one I subscribe to, is that this is still future to us. This is just a sign that of what's going to happen. I believe this is what's coming. We learn them what's going to happen in the seven-year history of the tribulation period. And we see Jesus opens the seals. You know, it's time. Jesus allows this to happen. It's time. He's called the main church home. But again, there's still a lot of things to happen here. And he opens the seals and allows things to take place. And the first horse is a white horse. Who's usually on a white horse? It's usually the good guy, isn't it? Usually the good guy comes riding on a white horse. You know, the Lone Ranger had a white horse, didn't he? And usually the good guy on a white horse. But that isn't the case here. Jesus comes later on a white horse. It's a little bit later in Revelation. But this one's a counterfeit, as only Satan can do. He can only do what he sees Jesus and God do. He can only copy and try to mimic what they do. And that's what he does. It's really not the good guy on the white horse. But he is given authority to rule, and he works to conquer. And it says he has a bow. You know, but it doesn't say he has any arrows for it. So he has some power, but I think it's a different kind of power. He's going to win, but he's going to win by having answers to questions. He's going to win by laws that take place. He's going to win by how the world changes. I think he's going to make it seem, you know, when we get down to the mark, I don't think it's going to be one that people are going to be against. It's going to be something that helps people. It's going to be seen as something better for everyone. And they're going to readily take it, not really understanding what they're doing. So he doesn't have bows, but he's going to win over the people anyways. You know, the church is gone, remember. People are going to be seeking answers. You know, what's going on here? and he'll have them. He's going to be a smart guy. He'll have them. Although they're going to be lies, they're going to be fake promises. But he'll oversee peace. At that time, there'll be a peace given. There'll be a growing economy. We'll be growing again. Because after all those pesky Christians are gone, you know, they won't bother us anymore. Plus, all the wealth that they left behind is going to be absorbed by other people. So they're going to take what believers, the material wealth that believers had, they're going to distribute that out. So he's going to give them what they want, you know, what they're looking for. They may not understand it, but they're going to get something out of it. You know, he's going to make a peace treaty with the Middle East. Israel's going to be in peace. And we just saw a peace treaty put together. You know, there are some that says Trump's the Antichrist. Do I believe that? No, I don't. But I believe we're seeing examples of what's to come. We're seeing a peace treaty come between Middle Eastern countries. If it lasts. I'm not sure, again, that this is going to be last by all those involved. And I think the peace is going to be on a much larger scale than just this. But he's going to bring them together and have a peaceful time. He's going to encourage Israel. He's going to encourage them to return to sacrifices. He's going to encourage them to rebuild the temple. And by the way, the components of the temple are already in place. The red heifer that's going to be used for the big sacrifice, it's already been bred. They already have a line of red heifer that are going to be available. So there's one available at all times. It's already here for sacrifice ability. The temple components, the bowls and all that stuff has already been made. There's a couple groups in Israel that have already made those and have those set back for when the temple comes back in. And I've even read some lately that a lot of the building material for the temple is already in place. It's all ready to go just for when they get turned loose to actually build it. So I think things are happening that show us what's coming. You know, we're just getting a precursor. You know, the Old Testament, like, tells us what's going to happen, too. It gives us examples, and I think we're seeing that now. We're seeing examples of what's going to happen. You know, the white horse goes, you know, he's kind of making this peace and putting it together and gaining control, and then we get to another seal's broken, and a red horse this time, and riders let loose. And this is probably, I would guess, closer to the middle of the 7 years, closer to that 3.5 year time period. Because he says, this one takes peace from the world with a sword. You know, the peace they had is gone. He turns his back on Israel. He changes the rules. Says it with a sword. There will be wars. There will be killings. There will be murders. Loyalty will fade. Violence will rise. A world in conflict. Look around. Look around. Can't say violence hasn't risen. You know, we see conflicts even now just between nations. We see conflicts between co-workers. We see conflicts between friends. We see conflicts in families. We see conflicts in church members. It's just the sad reality of the time we live. It's what's going on. And he'll turn against Israel, and they'll be surrounded by their enemies. And we have a third horse and rider released, a black one. It says we see famine and inflation. See a lot of that today. See a lot of famine in the world today. It's here more than in the U.S. more than we'd like to recognize or say. But it's in the world. There's a lot of famine going on. There's not food. Inflation, you've been to the grocery store. You know what it's like. So again, we're getting a sign of the times right now. Depending on the wars from the Red Horse, food and crops might be difficult to get to, difficult to plant. Depending on what happens in those wars, you know, if we turn into nuclear type things, ground's going to be contaminated, crops are going to be contaminated. Might be hard for them to exist. It's going to be so bad that leadership's going to take control of all of it. They're going to control everything. It says if you've got money, you can buy a little. But it's going to take a lot of money to buy just a day's worth of food for yourself. Can you imagine families that will be living at that time, taking care of kids and each other? And you're probably going to have to be approved to even make those purchases and take a mark which will allow you to buy what little you can. Now, it does say wine and olive oil may be available to the rich. I think there's a couple indications there. I think there's going to be, you know, we have like three classes now we talk about. There's only going to be two, and I think there's going to be a wide gap. There's going to be the leadership that have everything and a lot of people that have basically nothing. It's going to be a struggle. I think the other thing that can mean, it may also mean that there's the wine, grapes, and that olive trees are deeper rooted plants that may be left for later judgments that God's going to put out on things. So maybe they're left for future judgments. And then the last horse, the fourth horse and rider are loosed, and it's a pale horse. Now, in the original language, a pale horse, it was called a pale green horse. So we basically have a white horse, a red horse, a black horse, and a green horse. And it said it was death and Hades following. And we see death by wars, death by famines that's taken place. And so they've thrown in plagues and wild animals. You know, plagues are pretty easy. Those are pretty easy to manufacture. We just went through that. That was a sign of the time. We just went through COVID. It's a sign of what can be done. Plagues can be started like that. They can be sent out. There'll be plagues along with the famine and the horrors that's already going on. And we also saw through COVID how much not only the world changed, but how much control of the world changed. And how it flipped. And with food supplies gone, the animals got to eat. Animals will have to search for food to remain alive. And we see at the end he was given power to kill 1/4 of all the earth. Now, if you look at the earth right now, there's about 8 billion people. And if you take what they said, what I read, there's supposedly 2.3 billion Christians. I would be surprised if it's that high. I hope it is. I hope it's higher. But even if you took those figures, 8 billion minus 2.3 billion, you know, you've got almost 1.5 billion people that's going to be killed during this time. 1.5 billion people. It's going to be bad. You don't want to be here. We're going to have an invitation in just a minute. A couple more things to talk about. You know, we talked about the color of the horses, and I don't know if you pay attention to flags and the such, but if you look at flags, and if you look at the flags of the Middle East, you've got, they call it the pan-Arab, where they try to bring them all together, a unity of Arab and Muslim countries. And if you look at Iraq and Jordan, and Palestine and Syria and Sudan and Jordan, Libya, Kuwait, United Arab Emirates, their flags are all white, red, black, and green. I don't think it's coincidence. I think they're going to cause the surrounding of Israel. Their enemies will surround them. Again, you're going to have to, at this time, you're going to have to be able to buy stuff. You know, the world's changing. Have you been to places that won't accept cash now? A lot of places won't take cash. I mean, even school functions and ballgame functions, they don't accept cash. You have to use a credit card if you want in. So we're headed to a cashless society. And we're headed more to a digital money society. The Bitcoin and all of those, that's what it's headed to. There's not going to be credit cards and debit cards. There's not going to be cash. There's not going to be checks. You know, everybody wants it easy. You know, let's make it easy. You know, they've got to be, you know, the credit card made it easy. The debit card made it easy. Then you could take pictures of your check and just send it in and deposit it. Make it easy. Then you got Venmo and PayPal and all this stuff. Makes it easy. Transfer money out of accounts. You know, when digital currency comes in, it's going to be something else. The world's coming to that. And our president already signed in to put a place in charge of just the digital currency. And you might, it's basically the Fort Knox of digital currency. It's switching from gold. It's going to go to digital. And that's what's going to happen. And you're going to have to wait to do that. What's a way to do that? You know, your phones and things. The easiest way is just put a little chip in your hand. That'll tell all your medical history. Tell what you can buy, what you can't buy, how much money you have. Because it's all digital. It's going to be, you're not going to hold it in your hand. It's going to all be in space. It won't be paper anymore. It's all going to be digital. If you don't take that, but it's going to be easy. That's all you got to do is have that little chip maybe in your hand. It'll be convenient. And that's the lie. You know what? In the end, Antichrist will turn on Israel and set himself up as God and take the seat in the rebuilt temple. And that'll be, if you read the abomination that causes the desolation, that's the last straw. Jesus will return. And as I said, it'll be over quick. You know, the battle's not going to last very long. He said, by his breath and his glory, he'll win the battle. At this time, there's a few other things happen. You know, we get into Satan's locked up. You get a 1,000-year millennial where Jesus rules and Satan's let loose a little bit more at the end. And then the final big one, which, again, doesn't last very long. And then the new heaven and new earth all take place. But I want to finish with Revelation 3, 10 through 12. Revelation 3, 10 through 12. Since you have kept my command to endure patiently, I will also keep you from the hour of trial that is going to come on the whole world to test the inhabitants of the earth. I am coming soon. Hold on to what you have so that no one will take your crown. The one who is victorious, I will make a pillar in the temple of my God. Never again will they leave it. I will write on them the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the New Jerusalem, which is coming down out of heaven from my God. And I will also write on them my new name. And I think, again, that's just another verse that I believe believers will be spared from the tribulation period. But many, many will not. Many will not. If the figures are right, 8 billion, 2 billion, 6 billion people will live through the tribulation period. If it comes tomorrow, 6 billion people. Many that you know. Many friends. Maybe many in your family. Who do you want to suffer during that time? If it comes soon, who do you want to be there? Now, you can be the salt that preserves life. That's our job. That's what we're called to do. Don't be useless and thrown out. Be the salt. Draw people. Preserve people. Don't let 6 billion people go through this tribulation. Let's pray.